Well, if you can't preach after that, you have no preach in you tonight. Amen. I feel like turning loose tonight, I'll be honest with you. I'm glad I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm glad I'm free from condemnation tonight, aren't you? We were condemned to burn in hell. And Jesus came and took our condemnation for us. For those who are in Christ Jesus, there's now no condemnation. That's great news tonight, isn't it? Wonderful news. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13, beginning with verse number 1. I've been traveling through the book of Joshua and having a time doing it. I'll be honest with you. Preaching through books is a great blessing. I'm learning as I go, and preaching through the book of James as well, and have a series on the names of Christians going, so I've got three series going on at once, and I'm just trying not to bore you to death, but anyway, it's all the Bible, and God's Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says, and this is a message that everybody needs, whether you need it tonight, or whether you need it 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years down the road, you need this message. It's going to encourage some folks tonight. At the same time, when I announce my topic, those of you all who are young, don't tune me out. Joshua chapter number 13, verse 1. Now Joshua was old. I didn't say it, God did here. And stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. How'd you like to be Joshua? God says, Joshua, you're old. You're stricken in years. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all Geshuri. And in verse number 6, all the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Mizrepheth Maim. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. You don't either. So we go on, right? And all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark three words in verse number 1. It's these three words. Joshua was old. Joshua was old. And I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, when Joshua was old. When Joshua was old. Let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. Lord, we love you tonight, and I confess my dependence upon thee. There's no doubt in my mind that I cannot preach if you do not help me. But there's no doubt in my mind that, Lord, if you will use me, that something will be accomplished. And I pray tonight that you use me in a mighty way. Would you preach through me? And would you grab the attention of these dear hearers who are here tonight? Help me to preach it, I pray. Defeat Satan, his evil spirits, and do your precious will. In Jesus' name, amen. In this chapter, we see several things brought out. As a matter of fact, we see a list of the parts of the land that's not yet been possessed. We see the dividing of the land and portion given to 2.5 tribes on the other side. We see Israel slaying Balaam. And twice there's given the reference to no inheritance for the Levites. However, for our consideration tonight, I want to dwell on verses 1 through 7. And in these verses, there's a wonderful truth for all of us to see. And this truth is found under the main thought, when Joshua was old. Notice again, verse number 1, the Bible says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Joshua, thou art old and stricken in years. Now, we're not positive just how old Joshua was at this time, but it's made clear here that he was old. Some people say he was around 100 years old. However, it doesn't really matter how old he was, but what does matter is what was true about his life when he was old. You know, many times as a person ages, it becomes a time of depression. It becomes a time of discouragement and a time of defeat. However, let me say, as we will soon learn, with old age we can be encouraged and used by God to do great things for His glory. So let's dig in tonight and let's notice when Joshua was old. And I'll be honest with you. When I was taking homiletics, I know that sounds like Greek to some of you all. When I was taking how to put sermons together, I remember Mr. Kaiser teaching us, saying you all need to learn to preach through books because when you preach through books, it'll force you to preach on things that you'd never preach on. And this is one of those things that if I was asking God what He wanted me to preach and I wasn't preaching through the book of Joshua, I probably wouldn't pick out Joshua 13:1. I'll be honest with you. But we've come to this in our progress through the book, and what a great truth we see when Joshua was old. There's four things about him when he was old. Number one, here it is, God was still with him. In verse number one, look at it. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth very much land to be possessed. In this verse, we can all see a blessed truth about our Heavenly Father. It's this. He does not forsake His own. In a day and time when those who are elderly are many times forsaken by those around them, by friends and sometimes family, we can rest assured that God will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. In Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says, Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who knows how Joshua was feeling at this time? Maybe he was discouraged and feeling as if nobody knew or nobody cared. But God knew all about his age, and yet He still didn't forsake him. What a great truth that is tonight. That God still visited with Joshua. His age didn't matter to God. God still came around. I appreciate that about our God, folks, tonight. I'm glad He doesn't forsake us. I'm reminded of the story of a 64-year-old lady whose decomposed body was found in her dilapidated Houston home. It was discovered frozen to death, get this, for 5 months. She was forgotten all winter and spring by neighbors and family members. Neighbors described her as someone who didn't have anything to do with anybody, and no one had anything to do with her. This occurred after her children had grown up and moved away, and then her husband's death. But the sad thing is that she had two children, and one of them lived about 10 miles from her mother's home. And yet that mother was forsaken. But I'm glad that God will never forsake me. And you ought to shout the victory tonight that God will not forsake you. It'll never happen to a child of God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:6, Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Joshua 1 verse 5, As I was with Moses, by the way, he's speaking to Joshua here in verse 5, when Joshua was many years younger here, it says, As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And we see here in chapter 13, God kept His promise to Joshua. He's still speaking to Joshua. He's still visiting with Joshua, and we learn that when he was old, God was still with him. Psalm 37, verse 25, I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Isaiah 46, 4, And even to your old age I am he, and even to whorehairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. What a wonderful verse. That God will not forsake His children, no matter how old they are. Amen. Somebody said, Jesus loves me, this I know, though my hair is white as snow. Though my sight is growing dim, still He bids me trust in Him. Though my steps are oh so slow, with my hand in His I'll go. On through life, let come what may, He'll be there to lead the way. When the nights are dark and long, in my heart He puts a song, telling me in words so clear, have no fear, for I am near. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I like that tonight. When Joshua was old, number one, God was still with him. When Joshua was old, number two, God was not finished with him. Amen. We see this in verses 1 through 7. Now notice in verse number 1 the language. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, but... Is that what it says? No. He doesn't say, but there remain... No, he says, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. In that one little word, this goes to show that the Lord was not done with Joshua. He had more for him to do. See, Joshua must not be satisfied with past victories. He must not rest content. He must not quit on God. God had more for him to do. You know, even though his God-given duty changed, somebody said he went from general to governor. Because he went from the general of the army to the governor of the land, dividing it and so on. And even though his duty changed, his strength may not have been the same. Even though that may have been true, his assignment was still very important because it came from God Almighty. Look at verses 6 and 7. All the inhabitants of the hill country, this is God speaking, from Lebanon in the Misrephoth Maim and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. We see here God's commanding him. He's not asking him. He's commanding him. Now did God know he was old? Yes, he told him in verse 1. He said, Joshua, you're old and you're stricken in years, but I have a command for you. I've got something else for you to do. Joshua must press on in the will of God. He must still obey God's word. Somebody put it this way, God does not preserve us through youth in order for us to become idle with age. So many as they get old start giving up and giving in. However, let me say to you that if you're still breathing, God is not through with you. Get busy for God. Even though you may not be able to do some things the way you used to, God wants to use you in a marvelous way. He has given his word for us to obey until he calls us home. Psalm 92, 14 and 15. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Determine now, young or old, apply it to yourself, wherever your age is, young or old, that you are going to be faithful and not quit on God until he calls you home. No matter where you are, there's more to do. If you're 10 years old, he's got more to do with you. If you're 150, he's still not through with you. There are things that you can do in the will of God to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And by the way, let me say this. I speak this with the utmost respect in my heart and life. I respect the elderly people here at our church. One of these days, I'm going to be one of them. Now, I'm not there yet, I don't think. I get around, you know, sometimes like I feel like I'm elderly. But the fact of the matter is this. I thank God for every one of you folks who are considered old. And I say that with respect. We need you at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We've got to have you at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I'm telling you something, if God hasn't quit on you, don't you quit on him. Amen. Somebody help me out tonight. Don't quit on God. He's not through with Joshua. Joshua's old, sure he was. But God had more for him to do. Don't ever forget that lesson. Flip over to the book of Philippians. Hold your place here. Flip over to the book of Philippians with me just a moment. Chapter 3, verse number 12. Philippians 3, 12. Says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In those verses we see, don't look back, keep going forward for Jesus Christ. Do something for God until God calls you home. It says here that old age is dreaded by almost everyone because it usually means loneliness or physical decline and a retreat to inactivity. Some people tend to lose their enthusiasm for life and spend too much time in fruitless reminiscing and self-pity. They feel like old Jimmy, an elderly gentleman that George Mueller often told about, and he said this: when this man was asked what he did all day since he retired, he replied, "I just sit and think, and sometimes I just sit." Don't let that be true of you. God help you if it is. If you've got breath in your body, thank God for it. Search God for what He wants you to do, and do it until He calls you home. An elderly preacher was rebuked by one of his deacons one Sunday morning before the service. By the way, we've got good deacons here. Hope we don't ever have one like this. Amen. If we do, we won't have him long. Amen. Sorry about that, but that's the truth. He said, "Something must be wrong with your preaching and your work. There's been only one person added to the church in a whole year, and he's just a boy." Well, I have a remark for this deacon before I go on. How many converts did he have in the year? Amen. He's rebuking the elderly man, said, "There must be something wrong with your preaching. We've only had one guy added to this church this year, and he's just a boy." The minister listened, his eyes moistening and his thin hand trembled. He said, "I feel it all, but God knows I've tried to do my duty." On that day, the minister's heart was heavy as he stood before his flock. And as he finished the message, he felt a strong inclination to resign. And after everyone else had left, that one boy that this deacon was talking about came up to the preacher and said this: "Do you think if I worked hard for an education, you think I could become a preacher? Maybe a missionary?" Again, tears welled up in that minister's eyes, and, "Oh, this heals the ache I feel," he said. And he gave the boy's name. He said, "Robert, I see the divine hand now. May God bless you, my boy. Yes, I think you'll become a preacher." Many years later, an aged missionary returned to London from Africa. His name was spoken with reverence. Nobles invited him to their homes. He added many souls to the Church of Jesus Christ, reaching even some of Africa's most savage beasts. His name was Robert Moffat. The same Robert who years before had spoken to the pastor that Sunday morning and said, "Do you think I can become a preacher?" Are you listening? Maybe you just reached one. But I'm glad he didn't quit there, aren't you? You don't know what God's doing in your life. You know, one of the devil's tools he tries to use, especially on older people: you can't do anything anymore. You're worthless. You can't get around like you used to. You can't do it anymore. You might as well just give up, hang it up. God didn't tell you that. The devil will. Let me tell you why. Because the devil knows if you do not, he knows you are some of God's prized people. Because you have more wisdom than little young sprouts like me. Hope I've got a little bit of wisdom. But I don't have the wisdom my preacher has. I want it someday, but I don't have it. And all I'm saying to you, don't quit on God. God wasn't finished with him. I'll tell you this story. This man's name was Clarence Jordan. He was a man of unusual abilities and commitment. He had two PhDs, one in agriculture and one in Greek and Hebrew. So gifted was he that he had chosen to do anything he wanted. I mean, he could have, but he chose to serve the poor. In the 1940s, he founded a farm in Georgia. And it was a community for poor whites and poor blacks. And as you might guess, such an idea didn't go over well in the Deep South in the 40s. And ironically, much of the resistance came from good church people who followed the laws of segregation as much as the other folks in town. The town people tried everything to stop Clarence. They tried boycotting him and slashing workers' tires when they came to town, and over for 14 years they tried to stop him. When finally in 1954, the KKK had enough of him. So they tried to get rid of him once and for all. They came one night with guns and torches and set fire to every building on the farm but Clarence's home, which they riddled with bullets. They chased off all the families except one black family, which refused to leave. Clarence recognized the voices of many of the Klansmen, and as you might guess, some of them were church people. Another was the local newspaper's reporter. The next day, the reporter came out to see what remained of the farm. The rubble still smoldering and the land was scorched, but he found Clarence in the field, hoeing and planting. "I heard the awful news," he called to Clarence, "and I came out to do a story on the tragedy of your farm closing." Clarence just kept on hoeing and planting. The reporter kept prodding and kept poking, trying to get a rise from this quietly determined man who seemed to be planting instead of packing his bag. See, they thought he'd be packing his bag, but he was planting instead. So finally the reporter said in a haughty voice, "Well, Dr. Jordan, you got two of them PhDs and you put 14 years into this farm. There's nothing left of it at all. So just how successful do you think you've really been?" Clarence stopped hoeing and turned to the reporter with his penetrating blue eyes and said quietly but firmly, "About as successful as the cross, sir. I don't think you understand. What we're about is not success, but faithfulness. We're staying. Have a good day." God give us some Clarences. That when the devil tries to burn everything down in your life, maybe even your health, he might try to burn it to the ground and shoot it full of bullet holes, and he'll send his reporters and say, "How successful do you think you are? I thought you was going to pack your bags." God help us to stay firm and say, "Until God calls me home, I'm going to be faithful. We're staying. Have a good day." God help us with this. Number one, when Joshua was old, God was still with him. When Joshua was old, number two, God was not through with him. And number three, when Joshua was old, God gave him a promise. And I like that. We see this in verse number six, back in Joshua chapter 13. Look at it, right in the middle. God says, "Them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it." See, in this verse, we see our Lord speaking with his aged warrior. He could no longer do some things he used to. He may have been uncertain about the future. But in the midst of his address to Joshua, he gives a promise to encourage Joshua along the way. He said, "Them will I drive out." In this promise, we see the Lord giving Joshua, in his old age, something to hang on to for encouragement. And what I'm trying to say here is the fact that the Lord was getting Joshua's eyes off of himself and his limitations and putting them upon him and his precious promises in his holy word. Joshua had the promise that God was going to give them victory again. God was Joshua's hope. God was Joshua's stay in a body that was aging. In the same way, we as God's children, no matter what our age is, we can all latch on to God's promises. They'll all see us through. Think about the promises of God he's given to his children. And no wonder the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." 2 Peter 1:4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Hang on to the promises of God. They give us great hope and turn our eyes toward him. I'm talking about. Whenever age may creep up on you and you feel like everything's slipping away, you feel like the very ground under your feet is not firm anymore, why don't you latch on to the firm promises of God and they'll see you through. He'll help you. Aren't you glad he can help you tonight? Psalm 42:11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Psalm 119:81, "I hope in thy word." Psalm 130 verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." Number one, when Joshua was old, God was still with him. Number two, when Joshua was old, God was not finished with him. Number three, when Joshua was old, God gave him a promise to hold on to. And number four, when Joshua was old, he believed in God. He had faith in God. We see this in chapter 14, verse 1. Just flip a page over. And it says, these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, here it is, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. See, the land God told Joshua to divide was not yet occupied. Did you hear what I just said? The land that God told him to divide in verses 1 through 7 was not yet occupied. And God said, go ahead and divide it. Now, do you see where I'm going with this? What Joshua do? He must show faith in God to divide the land, trusting that God would keep his word. In all of this, we see Joshua, even in old age, was still believing God. His faith was strong. You know, what a great testimony to us today that Joshua had great faith in God, even when he was old. You know, one of the greatest things I see in this church? This is a great church. Not because of the people in it, but because of the God who's established it. One of the greatest things about this church are the elderly people as I look and I surf and my eyes are catching you and I'm thinking of your faith. You don't understand what that does for a young preacher. When I see my preacher get up this morning, and he starts talking about those things he's gone through, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, God Almighty, look at the faith that man has. I want that faith. I need that faith. He encourages me. And you do too. When you come up to me and say, God's good. And I know you're hurting and your wife's sick or your husband's sick or you just had a death in the family and you say, God's good. My, my. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the older saints in this church. Amen. I feel good tonight. Let me take you to a different place. A nursing home in Traverse City. A man tells a story. He was sitting by the bed of a woman who'd fought a fight with MS for over 31 years. And now a new enemy was attacking her fragile body. Cancer had joined with MS in its endless attack on the life of this old saint. He said, I held her hand and prayed the Lord's Prayer, and she utters her final words that I will ever hear her speak. And those words were, thank you. Next morning, she was dancing in the presence of God. And he goes back and tells, he said, I met her 5 years ago. Her name was Jan. I was assigned the duties of visiting church family in nursing homes. So from time to time, I would stop in and talk and pray with her. What could I say to one in a nursing home fighting such a horrible disease as MS? She didn't want to whine about her pain or rage about her disease. She had better things to talk about to a visiting preacher. She wanted to talk about faith. She wanted to pray for her family and wanted to find out about God and what he was doing beyond those nursing home doors. It was very clear that her hope was in God. The most important question about one's hope is what it's focused on. And after I learned that Jan was fighting cancer as well as MS, I went to talk with her at the nursing home. She told me that her faith was strong. In other words, he just found out that, well, he knew that she was dealing with MS, but he just found out apparently that now she's got cancer, and he went to deal with her. And he said in an unusually strong voice three times when he was standing there, she said, I believe, I believe, I believe. And he said, I think she wanted to teach this old young preacher something. I understand without a doubt that her hope was in God. And I asked her what her favorite song was. She went through a lot of possibilities and finally settled on this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Lord God, our Father. You know, may it be said of all of us that he or she believes God. Believes God. One night a house caught on fire. By the way, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." One night a house caught on fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms calling to his son, "Jump, I'll catch you." And he knew the boy had to jump to save his life. But all the boy could see up on the roof was flame and smoke and blackness. In other words, as he looked down, he heard his father's voice, but he couldn't see him because of all the smoke and the flame and the blackness. He was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, "Jump, I'll catch you, jump, I'll catch you." And the boy said, "Daddy, I can't see you, I can't see you." And the daddy said, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." Amen. There may be times when you can't see God. It seems like everything is black and everything is smoke. And yet you hear him saying, "Jump, I'll catch you, jump, I'll catch you." And he knows if you don't jump, you're a goner. But you can't see him. And the still small voice in the quietness of the prayer closet, as our preacher talked about, he can whisper to you and say, "But I see you, son. I see you, daughter." And that's really all that matters. You jump, I'll catch you. Do we really believe God? We better. Even when we're afraid, believe God, he sees us. You may consider yourself like one who said this: tennis is a game for young people. Till age 25, you can play singles. From there, you can play doubles till 35. And this man said, "I'm not going to tell you my age. When I played, there's 28 people just on my side of the court." That may be how you feel tonight. I don't know. Hearing some personal testimonies around here, I think, you know. But let me say loud and clear, God's not forsaken you. God's not finished with you. He's given you some wonderful promises to latch on to, and you can still believe him. However, the truth of our aging body beckons us to do all we can now, because tomorrow may be too late. The great evangelist George Whitefield was relating the difficulties of the gospel ministry to some friends. He said that he was weary of the burdens and was glad that his work would soon be over, and that he would depart this earthly scene to be with Christ. The others admitted having similar feelings, all except one, a Mr. Tennant. Noting this, Whitefield tapped him on the knee and said, "Well, Brother Tennant, you're the oldest among us. Do you not rejoice to think that your time is so near at hand when you'll be called home?" The old man answered bluntly that he had no wish about it. And when pressed for something more definite, he said this: "I have nothing to do with death. My business is to live as long as I can, as well as I can, and serve my Savior as faithfully as I can until he thinks it's time to call me home." That's what I'm preaching about tonight. Whitefield accepted that word as a gentle rebuke from the Lord and helped him go on with his work calmly and patiently. Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." Proverbs 16:31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." Psalm 90, verse 12, the Bible says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Whatever you do, do not die before you die. Did you hear what I just said? Do not die before you die. Work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the days grow brighter, work in the glowing sun, work for the night is coming when man's work is done. When Joshua was old, God was still with him. God wasn't finished with him. God gave him a promise to hold on to. And Joshua had faith in God. Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 14, knowing this, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might flow, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our Father God, help me to guide this invitation in a way that pleases you. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I always start with this because I don't ever want to be guilty of overlooking the most important thing, and that is a soul salvation. If you're here tonight and you say, Jody, you're talking about this great God who was still with one of his old saints. Talking about this great God who had something more to do and had promises that he could hold on to and is worthy to be believed. But I'll be honest, I'm not even sure I know him. If I die tonight, I do not have assurance in my heart that I'm free from the condemnation that is found only in Jesus Christ. Somebody say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'd like to know that I'm saved. I do not know that, but I would like to. I really would. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. And let me ask you this. Are you old, humanly speaking? And is God speaking to you? Maybe it was something that was mentioned. Maybe it wasn't even anything I said. Maybe it was just another area that God is dealing with you about. Maybe you just need encouragement that God is with you. You may be losing everything seemingly, but God's still there. Maybe you can't do things the way you used to. And the Lord's tried to get you to take a seat on the sideline and just be a bench warmer. When God says, listen, you may not can do some things you used to, but I've still got some big things for you to do. Maybe you just need to get busy. Maybe there's some promises that you need to latch on to. Or maybe you just need to start believing it. Have you say, Jody, I consider myself an older person and God is speaking to me. He really is. Have you been an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Yes, I consider myself to be an older person. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Others, yes, thank you. Thank you. Just put it up, put it right back down. Yes, I consider myself an older person and I believe God had this message for me. Yes, thank you. I believe God had this message for me. Yes. And let me ask one question of the young folks. Are you giving it all to God? You realize there's going to come a day when you can't do some things that you have the ability to do today. It's natural. You don't want to get to be old and look back and wish that you'd given more. Maybe God is dealing with some young people. You say, you know, Jody, I realize that this is a natural process, aging, and I need to get busy for God now. God is speaking to me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You're a young person. You say, yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, would you guide this invitation? Bless and help people to respond, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary is singing. If God is speaking to you, I want you to leave your place and come. Young, old, whatever it may be, if God has your attention, would you leave your place and come? Now, would you do that, please? As he sings, would you come?
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Come on.
I have decided
give it to the Lord
to follow Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
no turning back,
no turning back.
What number is that, Brother Gary?
316.
If you're still standing, take your hymnal, turn to page 316. Let's sing it. God's dealing with you. Would you come? Oh, young, you say, I can't kneel. Then just come have a seat on the front pew and ask God to help you with it. As we sing this second verse, would you come? Here we go.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
I say this and I'm going to turn it over to the preacher as they're still playing through. If you consider yourself to be older, and you're living for God, look up here, please. I salute you. I salute you. Don't ever quit. Stay faithful to God. Say, I don't know what I can do. Come see us. We'll give you something to do. Just don't quit. Don't quit. That's for everybody, especially those when you're old. Don't give up on the Lord. He's not through with you. I'm glad He's not. Amen. Preacher, you go right ahead.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Jody. When I get old, I'm not going to quit either, Brother Jody. Say amen right there, Sister Leslie. Okay. Well, thank you. That was a great message, Brother Jody. I appreciate it. And we have Lynn and Bonnie Anderson. You folks want to stand, coming to join our church by letter from a sister Baptist church in the area. And these are fine people. We're delighted that the Lord's led them to unite with our church. Is there a motion we receive them? Okay, motion made, Brother Bob. Joe, second. Okay. All in favor of receiving them by their letter and the fellowship of this church, Lynn and Bonnie Anderson, let it be known by saying aye. And raise aye. Your hand high. Aye. Pose the same sign. So, church. And come by and shake hands with the Andersons after. Let them know we appreciate them having them in the fellowship of our church. Well, amen. It's been a good day in the house of God, hasn't it? Amen. So let's bow our heads and be dismissed at prayer. Brother Scott Martin, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?